sounds me, that sound means. this is Everything Under the Sun, the Soper Sun radio show. And it is 4 o'clock on Thursday. My name is Arthur, and with me is
James Steinler. Thanks for hosting again, Arthur Cherith. We appreciate you holding down the board for Everything Under the Sun nearly every week.
Yay!
And yeah, thank you again, folks, for tuning in. If you haven't already picked up a copy of the Soper Sun, you could find one at a yellow newsstand near you. It's a 20-page issue this week, chock full of informative news as well as some nice soft features. I know that Melly Test and a few other choreographers have a show coming up at the Old Town Basalt Yoga Studio. And there's a write-up about that by Kat Viadiel on page 13. And I encourage check it out. It's bound to be a really good performance. There's two opportunities. There's one tomorrow and one on Saturday at 7 p.m., both of those. So anyhow, there's lots of other news, though. Have you picked up a paper yet, Arthur?
I did, just walking in here.
Oh, good, good.
I'm excited to read it.
Yeah, it's a good one. We have such a good team. And, you know, there's also not only photography and lovely photos, but there's lots of artwork, too, that
awesome.
We introduce. And you're an artist yourself, aren't you?
Occasionally.
So, folks, without further ado, we are actually going to kick back from a few issues ago, about 3 weeks ago, in the Carbondale Report, covered by Skylar Stark Ragsdale, anyhow. But in the Carbondale Report, he covered a presentation from Liz Axberg with the housing, she's the Aspen Housing Policy Analyst, and about a recent assessment, or an assessment that was completed, a regional housing needs assessment. And we have none other in the studio than Liz Axberg. How are you, Liz?
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely.
I'm doing great today. I mean, we got some rain, so that's a major win.
It's been really, really nice the last couple days to get some good little spouts of rain here in Carbondale. And I'm down in Glenwood, but generally, or at least live down there. And we've gotten some down that way, too. And I know there's a couple spot fires that were actually created by lightning outside a rifle, it sounded like. But mm-hmm. those were also, it sounds like the rain also helped kind of dissipate or quell those.
Cancel each other out.
Yeah. Yeah, thank goodness. It's a scarier for fire. Mm-hmm. And something else that's, you know, honestly kind of a scary subject or just daunting mm-hmm. is in this area is housing.
Yeah.
For sure. There's a lot of people who housing is kind of in flux. It's not always reliable. And certainly I know folks who have been out of housing and trying to find a place to live. And that's your world, it seems like.
Yeah. Housing's a really tough one. I'm sure a lot of folks who are listening to this feel that too every day. When doing this housing needs assessment, I look at these numbers and I see my friends in those in the data as well.
Yeah.
And so I definitely feel it near and dear when working on housing as well and who I'm doing it for.
It's becomes personal because you know people who are directly impacted by the current housing climate here in the Valley.
Definitely.
And you're a young person. I hope you don't mind me pointing that out, but it seems like a lot of young people in particular in that boat.
I mean, definitely. I mean, it's all related to affordability, who has wealth, who what your income is, and younger people on average are making less and don't have as much wealth as folks in the older age distribution. So
right.
it's and And a lot of us are probably newer to the community, too. And we all know that housing here has changed a lot in the last decade or so, especially since 2020, and how much prices have increased. So there's a lot of folks who are able to get in here. And then we have these newer folks who are coming into the housing market and trying to figure it out and scanning Roaring Fork roommates and rentals to find something under $2,500 in Carbondale.
It's so challenging, and then people need to move further and further down Valley or into the Colorado River Valley, and then they deal with that commute.
And that's exactly what we saw in this housing needs assessment, where the trend of folks, especially younger folks and families, moving farther and farther away from Aspen, farther and farther down Valley and west, because chasing that affordability.
Okay. And I want to get into that housing needs assessment. And that was covered a bit after your presentation to the board of, Board of Trustees here in Carbondale a few weeks ago. But first, I'm curious to know just a little bit about your job as the Aspen Housing Policy Analyst and what that's like from day to day. And did you fill someone else's position? Was there someone else who held that position before you came into it?
Actually, I was the first ever City of Aspen Housing Policy Analyst. Yeah, I started in July 2022. It's my 4 year. It was just my four year work anniversary. Yeah, that's okay. So celebrating that. But I do a lot of different stuff. It's a mix. I work a lot with the APSHA, the Housing Authority, and helping with policies. Like we have an essential repair grant program, and so I started that program, which just gives grants to owners of affordable housing, because it's the classic, oh, I own affordable housing, but I'm dealing with free market rates for repairs and competing against mansions on Red Mountain. But then I do a lot of other work, help with Aspen has a affordable housing strategic plan where we have our unit goal and different strategies, work with that. I also do a lot of work with our internal housing program because we have to house employees, and especially those who are emergency first responders, like police officers, and those in working water utilities. What happens when a water line breaks and your operator lives over an hour away? I kind of have my hands in all things housing at the City of Aspen, and this was one of those things.
Okay. And is it like do you have a department? Are you within a department, or are you just kind of out on your own island?
Sometimes it feels like an island, but I'm in the city manager's office.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I work directly with the deputy city manager.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So it sounds, but there's so much to keep you busy on a regular basis.
Feeling busy. I have had 9 council meetings to present at this month.
So you've been going around to talk to different town councils from Aspen to Parachute about this needs assessment.
Yep, Aspen all the way to Parachute.
Okay, and how about in county government as well?
Yep, yeah. So we already did pick in Garfield County's next Monday.
Garfield County is next Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll be covering that in the Soap Sun.
Great, see you there.
Very cool. This housing needs assessment. Now, this was a requirement by the state to put together a housing needs assessment. Did I read that right?
Yeah, exactly. Senate Bill 24-174 required all local governments in Colorado to adopt housing needs assessments.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask, when I was reading the article, like the very first line is, you know, Carbondale needs 621 housing units.
Mm-hmm.
How, because I know this was a little bit like collaborative, how did you guys go about figuring out just how many units were needed and what are all, or at least as many as you can easily explain, you know, things that went into deferring that?
Yeah, definitely. So we followed the rules put out by the state pretty closely in terms of how to actually calculate housing need. And I'm just going to say housing need in general, kind of a nebulous idea. Like, what is housing need? And does that mean if we build as many units, we're not going to have a housing need? Probably not. It's just not how it works. But I think what's important here are the inputs that make up that number, because it helps us understand where the need is being generated. Right. And who is the housing need, and where is it? Where is growth happening also? Mm-hmm. And that's where it's important. And so the housing need is split up into two different components. We have what we call the catch up. So what's the existing one? And then we have keep up. What's projected over the next 10 years? And mm-hmm. so we're looking at unfilled jobs in our mm-hmm. communities. We're looking at people expected. Well, I'm going to start with catch up. Let's see. We have people in overcrowding temporary housing situations, unfilled jobs, and then people commuting to your community for right. their job. And then we have the keep up, so to maintain that housing need, and that's employment growth mm-hmm. and also units vacated by units occupied by retirees, because the idea gotcha. You retire in your unit. Awesome. Mm-hmm. But now your job's open and mm-hmm. that person's going to need a roof over their head.
Right.
Yeah. And then the state requires us. So we calculate all these numbers and then we look at where job growth is happening. And so we look at Carbondale and then the percentage of job growth happening in Carbondale. We take that number of total housing need in Garfield County and apply the same percentage. And that's how we allocate housing need to Carbondale. So there's more. So I think the number in Newcastle is more 100 and something housing needs, but it's just we're not seeing as much employment growth
right.
or job growth in Newcastle. And so that's how it gets allocated to Carbondale, basically. And so a couple comments were, well, we don't have population growth slowing down, though. Why is there such a great need? Well, it's like no one can move there because there's not affordable housing, though. And right. And it's not the state didn't want us to look at that type of growth. It's more... There's a lot of economic growth happening in Garfield County, and that's where we're seeing a lot of the housing need coming from in Garfield County, really.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like growth is inevitable, certainly in eastern Garfield County and then going up towards Aspen.
It's impressive, I think, some of the growth projected for Garfield County. We're actually seeing job growth start to, go down in Pickens County, and then it's going way up in Garfield. And probably some of that is a product of the housing need, too, because where's everyone moving, right? Mm-hmm. But especially like Glenwood Springs and Rifle, there's a bit of growth projected for those communities.
Yeah. As more houses are built, how does that affect housing prices in the area itself? Does it have a direct correlation to housing prices?
You know, that's a tricky one, especially because we have such a great undersupply. So part of me is like, yeah, more housing would mean that it's going to help with the demand and maybe decrease prices. But now our prices are so high where, I mean, you can't get a townhome in Carbondale. Our median price is over $1 million now, and we're also struggling with non-local demand, which is, I would just define more as people who don't work here and coming from outside buying houses and injecting more wealth into our community. Mm-hmm. And so I think because of that dynamic, it's really hard to say what number of houses would start to decrease our sales prices. And you know, and I don't ever consider housing need, that's not like a construction goal. Mm-hmm. I would say because, you know, we're going to be honest, Carbondale, 600 units. I think the net need is more in the 500-ish range. Mm-hmm. But that's a lofty goal for construction.
Yeah.
It's not.
And that's in the next 10 years.
It's over a 10-year. Yeah. And so it's not a construction goal. And that's where I just look at it. It's like more like, are we accurately assessing the magnitude of the housing need here? Because I don't want to underscore it either, because if it's too low, then I'm like, we're not accurately depicting the struggles with housing that our community members face and people who are commuting so far for their jobs as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And how does Carbondale compare to other towns in terms of that need over 10 years? Are there any that are higher than Carbondale in terms of from Aspen to Parachute?
Yes, Carbondale is not the highest, okay. and it's not the lowest.
Okay.
And
that's where we like to be, right in the mid.
Yeah. And I would say, like I said, like it's a good jump higher than Newcastle. That's all about growth. Lower than Glenwood's, I would say. I think Carbondale. I can't remember exactly. I'd have to look at my chart probably from it, but if I think even my Rifle and Glenwood maybe had a higher estimated need, but then the smaller communities like Parachute and Newcastle or less, and then Aspen too, like that's a net need of like 2,800 units split between Snowmass, unincorporated Pickens County, the Pickens County portions of Basalt and Aspen as well. And so I would say, I mean, Carbondale is now, I mean, our proximity to Aspen, it's just we're seeing those high prices and growing housing need as well. And yeah.
Huh. And that's curious that like Rifle is also maybe higher than Carbondale.
Yeah. I have to double check what those numbers are, but I mean, Rifle, we're definitely seeing a bit of growth happening there, but they, yeah.
And the idea is to kind of, so people also don't have it, like to achieve this goal also means that you're going to have less people commuting to a different community in order to work.
Yeah, we look at it based on just net percent who commute from outside your county. Garfield County is so massive, it's really hard to get a handle on that. But we do see, I mean, at least a quarter, I think, of folks in Garfield County commute over 50 miles in county, which is impressive. That's huge. And then we have Pickens County, where over 60% of our workforce commutes in from out of county. We do have a funny county, though, where you could commute from Carbondale to Willits and, you know, 10-minute commute, but you're technically going to a different county.
For our listeners, you're tuned in to Everything Under the Sun, the Sopra Sun's weekly radio program here on KDNK. This week, we are speaking with Aspen housing policy analyst Liz Axberg about the Regional Housing Needs Assessment. And thank you again, Liz, for joining us on Everything Under the Sun. So how long did it take to put together this housing needs assessment, and who were the other players involved?
I'll be honest, it took a while. We started the work in February 2025, I believe. So it's taken us over a year to complete the work. And part of that's because we included everybody. And so you got to make sure everyone has a chance for input. And sometimes that means some back and forth. Mm-hmm. And so the study itself was funded by Snowmass Village, Pickens County, and the city of Aspen. But we've had, I mean, most check-ins, we have everyone from Aspen and Pickens County all the way to Parachute and Garfield County. And so a lot of different representatives from local and governments have been involved.
It seems like, and like you said, that the growth in Aspen is like it's not quite as not going to raise as much as somewhere like at Carbondale. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah, when we're looking at job growth, at least for Pickens County, it's slowing down. Garfield, it's picking up.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's interesting to me just because I think of, like, still everyone drives to Aspen in order to work there.
Yeah. And which, I mean, this study, though, has a trend, though, that makes you wonder what'll happen, because for the longest time, it's because Pickens County's been this great economic, like, driver where higher wages. Mm-hmm. We're starting to see median wages in Pickens County and Garfield County get closer and closer every year. Suddenly, if you can make the same amount of money in Carbondale or Glenwood, are you going to want to drive to Aspen for that job?
Right. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
And one other thing that I wanted to ask about is, so like Carbondale, for instance, the projected need is 620 units, mm-hmm. housing units over the next 10 years. That doesn't necessarily mean building 621 units. There's probably, like, do vacant homes, for instance, if those opened up for long-term renters and things like that?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to achieve housing, and there's non-construction ways to do so. Also, mm-hmm. like, we got West Mountain Regional Housing Coalition, who's doing deed restriction programs, helping people buy free market houses in Garfield County and Pickens in Garfield County and put deed restrictions on them. So mm-hmm. different ways. Yeah. It doesn't just have to be new builds. It could be redevelopment. Yeah.
Right. Like it could be like the old city market.
Let's turn that into something. Communal housing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, but that's a great point. You're like, I mean, let's, like, we, there's only so much land at the end of the day in our region, too. And so what,
right,
how much space do we have for that number of units? But,
when,
yeah.
I tend to always, I do, you know, especially a year like this year, I definitely think about water,
yeah,
and resources in order to, like, you know, continue housing this many people for so long.
Definitely. And so we do have a section of the report where it's like, here's this great need, like, for Carbondale, and then here's all the reasons why development's so hard in the Roaring Fork and Colorado, mm-hmm, River Valley, and especially so in Roaring Fork Valley. But water is one of those, and especially, like, even when you do a large development, is there the infrastructure in place to support that, the, these new people, too?
Hmm. And you had mentioned before we came on the air that you also are with, are you a board member with West Mountain Regional Housing Coalition?
Yeah, I represent City of Aspen with West Mountain Regional, okay, Housing Coalition.
And sorry to get a little bit off topic, but right, do they have a board member representing each different community then who works in kind of housing?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah, your jurisdiction pays to help operate the organization, and then you have a board seat from there, and so most local governments are represented on the board.
Okay, got you. And so when did you jump on that board?
I think the month I started working at the city is when it became an official nonprofit and I was sitting in, but it wasn't till last spring that I took on as the board chair, as a board seat. Yeah.
I wanted to ask, mm-hmm, and kind of wrote back, but earlier you said that with, like, housing needs and stuff like that, maintenance plays a role too, and a lot of maintenance is more expensive because there's such long commutes. Mm-hmm. Can you add a little bit more to that? Because I'm curious.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the construction costs in our valley are really high. A lot of folks who work in housing know that's a really large barrier, and one of the reasons why it's so hard to achieve affordable housing when you're trying to meet, when you're working on a project and you're trying to make the finances work because of how much it costs. And even Aspen, our lumberyard project that we're building is going to be over $400 million when, at the end of the day. So it's expensive. But then this other dynamic, perpetuated by the affordable housing crisis, is people who are working in construction who can't afford to live here, and so they're commuting really far. We see it in Aspen, and so it's not as bad in Carbon. Like, I think everything gets a little bit minimized, but still hard here. But contractor invoices who are just like, Aspen, it's a line on your invoice. Here's another $200 because we came to Aspen. And so all of a sudden you have this 100% AMI earning household who has this, who's trying to compete with free market housing in Aspen, and they're like, we just need a new hot water heater, and it's twice the price of anywhere on the Front Range.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
What are some kind of more creative kind of solutions to this deficit of for housing needs?
Yeah, definitely. I think we're going to be heading in a more regional direction. Like, how can more of us, because, I mean, everyone's trying to house their employees, and I think there's a lot of spaces for partnership. Because sometimes there's this disconnect of who owns land and who has money for development. It's like, how can we work together more to achieve the same goal of housing our community and our workforce as well? So I'm seeing a lot of that, but then what things like West Mountain is doing is really intriguing too. It's like, let's take this house and now let's ensure its affordability down the road, and also make sure it isn't open for that non-local demand as well. Because what we see in Aspen is sometimes a long-time owner, they bought a long, however many years ago, and they decide to leave Aspen, and it's sold to non-local demand. It's gone forever. Mm. It's never going to belong to a local again.
Right.
So how can we intervene to make sure that they stay in our community?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we have to get creative, because a lot of other folks in Colorado look to us, mm-hmm, and we've done a lot. And so also I want to make sure we celebrate that, but we're going to have to keep getting creative to keep combat, especially of how much it's harder it's got the last 10 years.
That's interesting, and it makes sense just because housing has been such a concern here, but there are a lot of people who are addressing it. You and, like, yeah, April Long with West Mountain Regional Housing Coalition, and each community in their own way. Yeah. I know Basalt has, like, done a lot in terms of affordable housing. And
it's everyone, yeah.
So have you seen, like, is that, like, the rest of the state is kind of looking at us as a bit of an example? And
I think we
this region, at least?
We get a lot of folks looking our way. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was just presenting at a conference about some of the maintenance concerns and affordability, and mm-hmm. everyone was like, oh, my gosh, I've been dying to hear what you've all been doing about that, because we've been in it for so long, and so we've also been able to see this full life cycle of some of our affordable housing too. So for Aspen, but Carbondale is deed restricted units too. So,
well, we only have 2 more minutes left of the show.
By quick,
it always just flies by. Is there anything that you think is particularly pertinent from the assessment that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Just say, take a look at it. And also, you're welcome to email me if you have any questions from the community. But I think I just always want to emphasize this and say, like, you're going to see that 600-unit goal, and it looks so daunting. You're like, how do we achieve that? But what I think is really more important is these trends that we're talking about, and how we can take some of the data within this report to help us understand the solutions that are going to be required to address those different components of the housing need, because then we can actually set more informed goals from there.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. We really do appreciate it, Liz. And where can people find a copy of the housing needs assessment?
Ooh, I mean, so eventually I'm hoping we can have it up on our government website, but since it's still being finalized, so I mean, take a look at the Carbondale Town packet that we posted it in, but also if you email me, be happy to email it your way. It'll be public soon on City's website, though.
Cool. Do you mind sharing your email?
Yeah, liz.axberg@aspen.gov.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Liz, for fighting the good fight for housing from Aspen to Parachute. And sounds like you've been really busy speaking with local governments.
Yeah.
Good luck with the commissioners on Monday. And folks, stay tuned. Coming up next is Bird Note, followed by a regional roundup. Thanks for tuning in to Everything Under the Sun.
Thank you so much.
We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks.